This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. Lots to talk about: immigration, COVID, Canada, what's going on in Congress. Well, that's a very long conversation, so let's dive right into it. Immigration, boy, the White House, they say they're looking for more information about video, because this video that they're talking about shows mounted Border Patrol agents aggressively confronting Haitian migrants at the border. In fact, there was actually video of whips that were out. So what is that about? There's 10,000, 20,000 crazy numbers of people that are at the border. And I say that because we don't know the full amount. We know that there are thousands, most of them Haitian refugees, or many of them anyway. And they're crowded near the Del Rio International Bridge in Texas after the Department of Homeland Security moved about 3,000 people to other processing facilities, places where they could go and get a bed, rest, whatever. Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas said his agency is trying to do a couple of things, and they're facilitating 1 to 3 deportation flights in Haiti and other locations, and only refugees from Haiti who arrived in the U.S. before July 29th are eligible for temporary protective status. And I think there's a misnomer there, where there's a big push because I don't want to go back to Haiti. Look at the horrific government. Look at the crises that have been happening there when it comes to the weather, and the desperation is certainly in the air. So there are those Haitians at the border are believed to have been living, some of them anyway, in South America well after the earthquake in Haiti in 2010. But because of the pandemic and the toll on the region, it just fueled this massive push to get across the border. So yes, there are some that have come from Haiti, but there are some that have been there, and they know what's happening there, and they're trying desperately to get out. When you see the mountains of people, boy, oh boy, and Department of Homeland Security is warning you're going to be returned. So if you're under the bridge, you're going to be returned, and these people are just pushing forward. I mean, that's really, I think, the big story, the buzz in your backyard and mine, because we're all watching this and saying, this is the United States of America. This is crazy, looking at this tiny border in Del Rio, and for the people living there, it's overwhelming. They even had to move the border crossing. I talked about that on our last show. Craziness. All right, speaking of craziness, our world was turned upside down. We all know it since the pandemic. Now Pfizer and BioNTech announced that they have a lower dose COVID-19 vaccine that they say is found to be safe, and they generated a pretty big antibody response to kids 5 to 11. But before children can become eligible for the vaccine, a few things have to happen. Of course, the FDA has to authorize it. Then they have to amend the emergency use authorization to include younger people, because that's not in the wording. After that, the CDC would have to weigh in, and then finally all the whole logistics of it. And plus, there's hesitancy among parents. If you're a parent, this is your dilemma. What do you do? How do you feel about it? I mean, we're crossing really weird territory now, and we know it. We talk about this tug of war constantly on this show. Rights versus protection versus the science. What is correct in what you're hearing? What is the information? What is the misinformation? What is the correct information? It is so all about you making those big decisions. You know, when I look at the amount of people that have died, we have really crossed an insane number. 675,000 people have now died of COVID-19. That's more than the U.S. death toll from the 1918 flu pandemic, because remember, that number kept coming up. And I think I've said, I know I've said this on this show, my great-grandmother died in that pandemic. She was in Philadelphia, and I have no, I didn't meet her, didn't, of course, obviously didn't meet her, but didn't know any details, what I meant to say, about her, because my grandfather had a seven-month, my great-grandfather had a seven-month-old and a young daughter, and he met my, who I know to be, of course, my great-grandmother. He met her, married her, and I don't know anything about that family because that's what they did. You just move on. You're moving through your life because too many lives were lost, especially in that region during that crisis way back then. In Canada, they have a new prime minister. Not really. It's the same prime minister, Justin Trudeau. He prevailed over the conservative rival Aaron O'Toole, so the Liberty Party is Canada's next government, but he fell short of winning the 170 seats needed to form a majority party. The Liberals won 157 seats to the Conservatives 122. And it just illustrates, just like in the United States, it's polarizing. The issues are polarizing. And so much of it is over the COVID-19 protocols. People were furious with Trudeau and some of what happened there economically with tight protocols. And Trudeau told his supporters that the outcome means millions of Canadians have chosen a progressive plan. So it'll be interesting to watch as he traverses through his new government. All right, now let's get to our government. So congressional Democrats have announced that they're going to attach a suspension of the debt limit to a must-pass spending bill to keep the government funded. I talked about this at length in our last show. Tick, tick, tick. We constantly are dealing with the unfunded government. Ooh, if we don't act right now, we have 14 days, and then everybody's on pins and needles because people hear that they're not going to get, like, Social Security checks. So Republicans will have to choose between addressing the debt limit, which I think a lot don't want to do, or risk a government shutdown. The House is voting on the spending bill, and it's a continuing resolution. So this is one of those weird litmus tests, is what some people would call it, to see if the Republicans are willing to vote to shut the government down, and the goal line just keeps moving. But the one thing that's the same is the debt limit. We're constantly in the middle of that. We are constantly talking about the debt limit, are we not? Yes, we are constantly talking about it. I mean, the insanity. I say it's the insanity because if you know this is happening, and I granted, you know, you can't wave a magic wand, but if you know this is constantly going to be what comes up, why is this not one of the top five things addressed? Why isn't this something where there's enough bloody committees that are formed? Why isn't there better ways to figure out where you can get more bipartisan cooperation and how you can just have that continuous flow and not have to waste time, by the way, on band-aids and measures like that? And I get the polarization, but this happens, it seems like, every couple of years. I mean, I'm sure it does if I went back and added it up. And then, like I said, people are on pins and needles wondering, what does that mean to you and me? And I say that this show is about that. What's going to get cut off? What are you not going to get? Or what are you worried about not getting as a result of that? Right? As a result of the government shutting down. And what about the people that work for the government and what position they're in? And it seems like it's always an insane tightrope that we continue to walk on, no matter what administration, Republican or, you know, Democrat. Crazy. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, some more odds and ends. And then we've got a mailbag segment. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to introduce you to the end of the hour. I'm going to introduce you to Marvin Everhart. He's got some great stuff for you. So hang with us.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
Right, time for a little odds and ends on the show. It's kind of where you shake your head and say, did that really happen? Or maybe it's something that's good. You know, oddball things sometimes aren't necessarily awful. But this is pretty awful. Bringing new meaning to take this job and shove it. You've heard that song, right? A Walmart worker resigned over the loudspeakers. He said, F this job. Wow. Just profanity laced. I could never even say it on this show. And this was in Louisiana. He was loud and proud over the store speakers. So naturally, we live in the world of, if you say it, we probably got it somewhere. We're recording it. And, you know, so what happened is, this is how it went down. Attention Walmart shoppers and associates. My name is Beth from Electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid. So she, in a Facebook video, posted it and said the attendance policy is meh. We're treated from management and customers poorly every day. Whenever we have a problem with it, we're told that we're replaceable. And I am tired of the constant gas. Gaslighting. She said this company treats their elderly associates like meh, and to the store manager, Jared, you're a pervert. Wow. And then she named two other people and said, shame on y'all for treating our associates the way you do. I hope you don't speak to your families the way that you speak to us. And she actually posted the video on Facebook with the comment, on to better things. So I'll go back to, again, in the world of you said it, you claim it, and then especially you put it out there, does that hurt her in the job market? Oh, that's right. We have a massive job market. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. If I told you, that's not the way to quit a job, though. Come on. She could have quit. She could have done something that made her feel good, but I think that when she threw in especially all the F-bombs and everything, that's where she would lose a lot of people. All right, moving on to, would you spend $2.1 billion in Manhattan on an office building when so many people are working remotely, and it looks like it's going to continue to be that way in the near future? Well, Google says it's buying a Manhattan office building for exactly that amount. And it is a signal that big technology companies, I read a great piece in the Wall Street Journal about this, that this is one of the most expensive pieces of real estate in the U.S., and it's the most expensive sale of a single U.S. office building since the start of the pandemic. And Google is already listing the building, a former freight terminal dubbed St. John's Terminal in the Hudson Square neighborhood, and they have an option to buy. They say they plan to exercise that in the first quarter, so they're going to do it. You know, you look at other tech giants, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, and then, of course, Google that I just mentioned, and they're some of the biggest renters and buyers of office space throughout our country. Tech companies are taking advantage, of course, of lower office what? Building prices, and putting billions of dollars in cash reserves to use. Think about the tax implications. Think about the future. That's what they're doing, because Google's embraced remote work a lot more, just like so many of the other companies. So at first blush, if you just look at it, you think, wow, they're buying the buildings. And they say they prefer to buy buildings because owning spaces makes changing them in the future easier. They can reconfigure the floor plans, and they can control what that floor plan looks like versus having to rent and then get permission for changes, et cetera, and all of that. And Google, of course, has been expanding its New York offices and has like 12,000 people in the city. It's actually the biggest workforce. This is interesting, outside of California. So there you go. Now they're going to have this big building, and that is in an incredibly pricey area. So it's not that odd. It's actually kind of interesting that they did that. As we wait and see what happens, and we continue down the path of getting through the fall and then going into 2022, and what is 2022 economically going to look like? All right, he was a familiar face on the tube, Jon Stewart. And Jon Stewart started off as a comedian, and then he had his show, The Jon Stewart Show. And now he's back on TV. It's just like a drug, right? You can't get out of it once it's in your system. So this time around, it's called The Problem with Jon Stewart, and it's going to be on Apple TV Plus. That starts at the end of September. And it's going to be probably like some of the other single topic public affairs-y, I'll say affairs-y kind of shows. I mean, he had like a cult following with Hollywood liberals. So he's the opposite. He was the offering up of the conservative fair, I'll call it, that was on Fox and other places. He's the opposite of that, the talking head that attracted a lot of Hollywood liberals, and with his comedy edge and talking about other things that got thrown into the mix. And he said he just got burnt out on the pace of doing the Daily Show and then not being able to evolve it. So now here he is back doing another show. Like I said, it's, you know how it is. It's tough when it's in your blood. And some of you who have a passion for what you do totally understand it. But being on Apple Plus is much different than being on cable, or being on NBC, CBS, or NBC. The changing landscape of talk on television. Stock market, we've been talking about the stock market falling the other day. And whenever it falls, you know, the discussion turns to, well, if the Dow drops over 600 points, and it's the worst day that we've had since October 2020, and we look down the road, is this something that we're going to continue to see? Now, in odds and ends, why do you care about that? I know many of you have 401ks, or you diversify what you have for your retirement, a little of this here, a little of that there, and, you know, whether you have some gold, whether you have some Bitcoin, whether you have some stock. So it's important to watch how the forecasting at the big craps table is going. And
I think we're just going to see, you know, most of the same. We're going to see the peaks and valleys that we do see. And is it a warning if we look that we're going to see a rush for the exits, especially in tech? Are we going to see that? And when you look at, that was disastrous. Remember March of 2008 and what happened in the Great Recession, baby, it was on. And if you look at March 2009, the Dow fell below 6,500. And this all started with what I've already talked about, the Chinese real estate collapse. And does that make people get more focused? Do they dump stocks? And do they look at housing? What are the indicators? And I think it's something to pay attention to. It's easy to take your eye off the ball. You have a basket of stocks. You just have whatever amount you have, little, large, etc. But it's something to monitor so you don't watch that all slip away. Because I saw that happen with a lot of people in my family. I saw it happen with a lot of people I knew where it looked like a really nice little retirement that they had worked hard to build up, and they had that basket of so-called safer stocks with dividends. And then, of course, 2008 happened. And once that happened, it's when you're near retirement, it's pretty tough, obviously, to build that back up because you just don't have the element of the all important time to, you know, be able to do that. All right. Speaking of odds and ends, this is one of the craziest things that I've read. A swarm of bees has killed 63 endangered African penguins on a beach outside of Cape Town. The South African Foundation for the Conservation of Coastal Birds said that over the weekend. They said what they did is they had all these dead birds. They did these tests and they found bee stings around the penguins' eyes. Oh, I saw a picture of that. It was so awful. What a weird thing. If I told you penguins getting stung by bees is killing them, and apparently it's this weird fluke that doesn't happen very often, and that the penguins are already in danger of extinction. They're a protected species, so this isn't a good thing to see them fall over and go and figure out it's these multiple bee stings, and there wasn't any kind of physical injuries other than that. You know, and African penguins inhabit the coast and islands of southern Africa, and they are definitely on what they call the International Union for Conservation of Nature's red list, so they have a high risk of extinction, and there's a big push to try and save them. All right, that's it for odds and ends. Hang through, everybody.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The House passed a bill Tuesday evening to fund the federal government through the end of the year and suspend the debt ceiling until next year. The bill, which would avoid a government shutdown on October 1st, was approved with a strictly party-line vote, though the measure appears headed for an uphill battle in the Senate. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said earlier in the day that Senate Republicans would support a continuing resolution that funds disaster relief and assistance for Israel's missile defense system. but that the Democrats would have to address the debt ceiling on their own. And the FBI has confirmed that the body found near Grand Teton National Park over the weekend is that of missing 22-year-old YouTuber Gabby Petito. Teton County Coroner Dr. Brent Blue said Tuesday that the initial determination is that her death was a homicide. Police are currently searching for her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, who was named a person of interest in the case last week, but disappeared himself. Police have been searching for him in a nature reserve in Northport, Florida. This is USA Radio News. This is USA Radio News. President Biden gave his first speech before the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday in a wide-ranging address that covered topics from the pandemic to climate change. Following the speech, Biden met with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, following the announcement of the recent defensive partnership between the two countries and the United Kingdom. In remarks to reporters, Biden said that Australia was vital in maintaining the balance of power in the Indo-Pacific region.
The United States has no closer or more reliable ally than Australia. Our nations have stood together for a long, long time. And you can rely on one another, and that's really a reassuring thing. We're grateful that our partnership has accomplished what we've accomplished together over 70 years. We have a big agenda to discuss today, starting with our partnership to advance our vision of a free and open Indo-Pacific.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Welcome to this version of the mailbag. Thanks to everybody who sent in their thoughts on all kinds of things, especially the chaos at the border, because you're seeing so many images, I'm sure. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com 24/7. That's how you can let it fly. Whatever you want to talk about, certainly let us know. Click on contact and away we go. So we start with Hal, who is listening to us in the great state of Texas, and he says, Kate, I have never ever seen anything, as you said, like the nonsense at the border. I listened to you on 1240 out of Brownwood, and there's been a lot of conversation about it and the mishandling of this nightmare crisis that just continues to roll through. I agree with you. It's just administration after administration, no matter what, Republican or Democrat, listen, they all just pass the buck, and nobody can seem to come to any great conclusions with this. It does make you wonder if Donald Trump's idea of a wall wasn't really that so out of whack, although, as some of the Border Patrol agents that you have had on the show have said, where there's a will, there's a way, and there's always tunnels and things that happen with people who want to cross over, and it's beneficial to the people who want to prey on those that are desperate to come to the United States. What is the answer? Wow, that is the great question, right? I think it's been on the top five. It has been on the top five since I've been doing this show. And, you know, you shake it upside down, you look at it at all different angles. And, of course, people in horrible situations see the United States as the Mecca, as the place to come. For much of the criticisms that we encounter from people around the world, there are so many that are down and out, that are being abused in horrible situations, that really, really want to risk it all to come to the United States. I mean, listen, people get on makeshift rafts from Cuba still to come to the U.S. And we know of the stories of how people come across and what they risk and what they do, and sadly how many people don't make it and how many people get taken advantage of. It has to become a priority. I mean, that's it. It has to become a priority, because the wheels of legislation turn very slowly. We know that. And there's no agreement here when it comes to immigration. So find a way to find some common ground on some initiatives that work. And what are those initiatives? Talk to the people on the ground consistently, right? Figure out a better system of processing. And I know that Border Patrol does an amazing job. I don't land it on the Border Patrol at all. I don't know how, as I've said here on this show, how they do what they do and each day continue to deal with that. And there are some sad, sad stories, right? So when you hear the stories of drugs coming over and gangs and criminals, of course you don't want those people here. That's easy. And we understand that. And that's easy to deal with that. But what about the masses? And we're seeing that with some of the Haitians. And then it also goes to the question of how do you control who's coming in? And that's what we don't have, meaning the more nefarious element can easily disguise itself and come over that way. And trust me, it is easy to do that. We have had wide open conversations about it. So I think it absolutely should be one of the top five things that we deal with in this country. And it's up to the lawmakers, right? People can push and prod and scream and lament all that you want, but it's the people who make the laws. We have three branches of government that we have to rely on to do something to start chipping away at this hard, hard, horrific problem. All right, we go to Anne, and she is listening to us. She sent me an email. Kate, I'm in one of your favorite places, New Orleans. I listen to you on 990 AM, and I can tell you it is still a mess in New Orleans. Trash is everywhere. People are still trying to clean up, although so many in the community have helped each other, and that's, I think, the brilliance of the people here in this great city. But it really, even though we didn't get hit as hard as we could have, it certainly was a really, really rough road to go through with Ida and everything else that we've had weather-wise that has hit us. We know this in living here. I've lived here most of my life. We're a resilient bunch, and like I said, so many in the community are helping each other. But I just wanted to paint that picture out there for the people across the U.S. who are thinking about, okay, well, it rolled through a couple of weeks ago, and then you had something that happened before that, but that was months before that. And, you know, hey, 3 weeks, and it is still in disarray. There is still, especially, all that leftover trash that you see everywhere that you go, because people had to clean out houses. And when we're talking about the kind of weather that we get here, it just adds to the noxious smells that you get. And you think of the electricity and the power. And what's great is I salute all the people who came to help, because there were so many linemen that came and helped to restore power, and that's the good news. The bad news is the blight of the cleanup. I know. I talked about the trash parade. I saw a couple of stories about that. And you know what? A big shout out to those linemen who all made their way to Louisiana to try to help, because we knew that the power was going to get knocked out. And, you know, that multiplies what happens if you don't have power. And that's to, again, a tip of the cap to the people who were there to help and aid in that situation. And with the trash, the city has to do something about it, because it's not just, oh, you know, a couple of bags. It's not bags. It's not the bags. I mean, it's your life, you know, and it's everything, the trash in between, the garbage, the food that's spoiled. And, of course, that attracts, we've already talked about that, all kinds of animals. And it's going to get worse and worse and harder to deal. You know, that's it. Those are the facts. Okay, this one is from Joseph, and Joseph says, Kate, I laugh so hard when I hear you talk about technology and iOS 15 and the phones and what we have to do every single time when they come up with a new product. And I agree with you. You just get used to a phone, and then you have to deal with an iOS update, or you have to upgrade your phone because the battery doesn't work well enough, or whatever it might be. It's like Apple gives and takes at the same time. Don't you feel that way? Do I feel that way? Yes, I do. The iOS 15 that that just came out, and it's the update to the operating system that powers any iPhone, right? And it's in front of the iPhone 13, which is coming out this week, and the iPhone 13 has a mini, a Pro Max. And it's going to have FaceTime Portrait. It's going to have all kinds of other cool updates. But the problem is, like you say, when you get used to something, and you know what it is? It's like technology is your friend when you have patience. And I always say this when people say, I don't know how to do it. I can't do the technology. Yes, you can. But you have to take a breath. I'm serious. You have to take a breath. You have to take the time to learn it, to learn what it is. And if you just get a little bit of time, then it gets better. Because I was the same way. I like technology, but I would get so frustrated. And if I don't take the time to learn what it is, then I'm going to keep having the repeated patterns of the mistakes. And it is a hassle. It is a hassle when you like what you have. But isn't that the world, right? Like, change is, we don't like change, but we do like change. It's that yin and yang, and Apple really illustrates that. Like, hey, the world is moving, innovation, and we're going to keep taking advantage of it, right? And we're going to try to make things bigger, badder, easier for you, but you're going to have to, you're going to have to learn it. You're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to organize yourself. And I guess there is some pretty cool things about it, but, you have to think twice. You have to give yourself the grace. Let's put it that way. You have to give yourself the grace to learn the technology, because it's usually not an overnight thing. I mean, I'm still learning things about, I have a 7 plus. So think about how far behind, in a sense, I am, 7 plus. And my brother keeps telling me, you need to upgrade. And I'm like, are you going to come here and show me every single thing on this phone so what I'm comfortable with I'm able to do? No. Right? So that's what the scoop is. And here's another one. This one is from Jan. And Jan says, Kate, I just went out to a restaurant for the first time, and I have to say I felt pretty safe. I live in the Northwest, and I felt like the waiters were masked and the waitresses were masked, and they were really clean about, you know, cleaning up not just the tables, but just how they sanitized everything. And I'm wondering if more people are going back to restaurants, or there's still some reluctance to going out to eat. Have you been out to eat, and what do you think? I have been out to eat. I feel like I want to be the supporter of my local restaurants, right? I want them to stay in business. I want them to be able to feed their families. And, I mean, hopefully a lot of you feel the same way. So it's not just me. I hope a lot of people are doing the same thing. And, you know, it's funny. It's like the patience thing we were just talking about in the last email. You have to have patience when you go out to eat, because it may be that they don't have enough servers. It may be that they don't have enough people to bus. And it's a dilemma, because there's all these jobs in the restaurant and hospitality industry that aren't being filled. And it's hard to get people to want to fill them, even if they are upping the ante and what they're paying per hour and whatnot, some of these restaurants. And it's all part of what has flipped around on our lives with COVID. But I feel safe when I go out to eat in my local restaurants. And do we know 100%? Of course we don't. This virus is an elusive SOB. But if you can, support your local restaurants. So booyah on you for sure. Remember, you can email me, katedelaneyradio.com.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget.
Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
All right, you're going to be so, I think, intrigued with Marvin Everhart. He's in our virtual green room right now. And we were talking off the air for a few minutes. We talked before, but he said something about how these visions come into his head. You know, when I was asking about writing, and I love what he said. He said it's like painting with words. Isn't that brilliant? It's like painting with words. And his book, of course, The Vision of Me. Marvin, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad that we connected, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about the road to writing The Vision of Me. What did you, you know, what drew you to writing this? Why did you write this book?
I've been writing for 20-some years. And The Vision of Me has always stuck in my mind, but I actually never knew that it was going to happen. I had a friend, may God rest her soul, and she stayed up 3 days to catch this this infomercial about Page Publishing, but I never followed through with it because I didn't have the money at the time to publish. And finally, in 2019, I met someone outside of a place that I usually go to for recreation, and I read one of my poems that's in the book, and he's like, do you think that you want to be published? I said, yes, sir. And he was like, I think we can make that happen. I said, that'll be a dream come true. He said, what's the name? I said, I have no idea, but it will surely come to me. And so I started gathering all the things that I had in my old book, my old composition book, and I sorted out the things that would stand out to people. And so I created a good one. New poetry, new poems are written in there. And when I finished it, I had to do the manuscript. I wrote the synopsis. And this is actually my first book, so I didn't actually know what I was doing. I didn't have nobody coaching me through it. But it was other people in my ear was like, yo, I think you should do it. You know, go ahead and follow through with it, you know. And good things will come to you. So I said, okay. So I finished it. And he said, what you think the name's going to be? Vision of Me, which is me, it stands for my name, Marvin Everhart.
I know, I love it. It's such a it is a great acronym, obviously. Me, Marvin Everhart, and it's you. It's your, as you said, what you were gathering in that composition notebook. What inspired a lot of those poems? Just things like you said to me that come into your head. These pictures that you're able to sort of paint the words down. Is there one thing that inspires you more than another?
Listening to classical music, I go to YouTube and I found a lot of relaxation music. Big ups to Philip Wesley, Paul Cardon, Helen Jane Long. I love them. some of their name of their composing music. It's in there, and like Echoes from Helen Jane Long, which is an album, Porcelain. And I was listening to that, so I added that in there as in to let people know this is actually what I'm listening to. The titles of the poems are actually metaphors, as in celestial nor lights, per se. Take celestial, and, you know, you're talking about the upper sky, you know, the heavens, space, whatever that means to you. Nor lights, actually, the original name was celestial northern lights. So nor lights came from the group nor lights. And I was listening to one of their instrumentals called Silk and Roses. So it starts out, Theft Stems and Silk Roses, you know, things like that. So I went on from there painting a picture of my own heaven. So that's how I come up with what I'm writing, is by listening to classical relaxation music and such, et cetera, et cetera.
I love it. Great inspiration there, that's for sure. What do you hope people take away from reading The Vision of Me?
Notice, I want them to take that whatever it is that you're going through, write it down. Because someone else is living that dream too. And know that you are the achievement of what you are doing. You know, when you write it down and you go day from day and you look back on it and you be like, oh, did this really happen? I can put this in the book. So this can be my story. That's what I want you to do. I want to inspire and aspire someone.
I like that, aspire and inspire. And I know that when you and I talked before, and you've got, and of course there's so much more that you have in you, but you have another book that you're working on, am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow, give us a little sneak of that.
Wow. This one is going to be kind of different, and it's going to be a little bit of pain because I'm writing from the aspect and perspective of someone else's pain, which we all have. We all share the same feeling. People who have passed away, I want to remember them in my poetry. So when you read the new ones, you're going to say, wow, from the heart, soon, and in God's heart, it all talks about the passing of loved ones. And it's going to be a little bit different, and I'm trying not to be as the same as the last book, per se.
Right, so add some twists to it. So,
yeah.
And just like the other book, I mean, you want people to, I think your gift is you want people to feel something. You want to move people.
Oh, yes. I want to give people a different imagination. You know, use your imagination when you read my poetry. You know, not everyone is going to see the same thing that you're seeing, because everybody's going to have a different perspective and different point of view of it. But everybody's going to read it, and you're going to see that, wow, this is beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Not to sound conceited, but this is beautiful, you know. And I do readings. I read my poetry in classes that I go to. And it's always at the end of class where I would get up and I would be introduced and I will read something new or something old, depending on if there are people in there that are new to the class or people that has been in there for you know, some time. And when I read, they're listening and they're visualizing as everything and that I'm saying. And they're coming up to me like, yes, we should be published. I say, well, I am, you know. Yes, thank you.
That's great. They can see it. So there you go. The Vision of Me, you can get it on Amazon, and that's the key thing, to escape through what Marvin has put down on paper. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yes, ma'am.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.